I want to share with you that this morning I was taking my shower and I had a visitor. I don't know if you've ever had this happen, but suddenly I wasn't alone in the shower. The Holy Spirit was there. And this is what he said. Don't talk this morning. And I thought, well, that's really strange because I prepared, 7 pages. And he very clearly said, don't talk this morning. And so I thought, okay, I love the front of the room and I love the microphone. But what he was saying to me is, give the microphone to someone else. So that's what I'm going to do. But I'm going to go for a few minutes. And what happened was when I got here and I was talking to Quinn, and I said, should we just go through my PowerPoint? And he said, I never got it. And I thought, okay. As I struggled with the Holy Spirit and his message this morning, there was a tug of war of, but I really want to speak. And it was no. And so I don't have my PowerPoint. So that was a confirmation that I'm not supposed to speak this morning. So I'm just going to give you a little tiny bit of what I prepared, and I don't even have to use my script because I'm not going to do it. So patience is probably that one fruit that we can strive and we can try and we can practice and we can pray for, but quite honestly, we will never attain that gift because only God in his perfection is truly patient. And Jesus, when he walked on the earth, he exemplified that because he's so closely connected to the Father that he could do nothing other than be patient. And he was patient with his followers, with his disciples. He was patient with the multitudes that followed him. He was patient with the people who persecuted him. And he even asked the Father to give them forgiveness as he hung on a cross. So thank you. So we can try, but I think sometimes we make a mistake where we're focused on the fruit. And I would challenge all of us to not focus on the fruit, whether it be love, peace, patience, joy, forgiveness, whatever. Focus instead on the root of the fruit tree. And God is in the root. The soil will be staying close to God and Jesus through reading scripture, through praying, through worshiping together. All of those things help produce a strong rootstock. And what's interesting, I learned that a fruit tree, the roots spread out 4 times the canopy of the tree. Now, those have to be strong roots. They don't necessarily on a fruit tree go down. They go out. And that's what we're to do, is to take the fruit and to present it to others. And we don't do that on our own. We do that through the Holy Spirit. And I know today when I got the message in the shower, of all places, to not talk, that was the Holy Spirit, because that goes contrary to who I am. I do want to share one little thing with you. Just remember, we talked about this last week. How many of you have been to the Sistine Chapel? Oh my gosh, just about everybody in the room. Do you know, when you walk in, and what's the first thing you look for? That's it. And there's so much. And you find it, and then suddenly, at least in my experience, I looked around, and I saw everything else that was magnificent as well. And Steve and I talk about this. He loves this. So 6 weeks ago, we got a little dog. I shared with you that Gabe was depressed, and on a whim, right after Mom's counsel, I went and got a dog. And so Steve found this video or this slide, and you gotta love it. And I just think that's just so, so cute. My talk, I was going to share with you an experience that I had with my then four-year-old son, Connor. Cutest little kid, but he started talking very early, and he talked not just in words, but in sentences. And about age three, Connor started telling stories. And he would tell stories that went on and on and on and on. And I would sometimes have to pause and say, okay, wait a second, sweetie. In this story that you're telling, are we at the beginning? Are we at the middle? Or are we approaching the end? And he just was the cutest little kid. He would just smile and a little twinkle in his eye. And he'd say, why, Mommy? And I'd say, well, I just need to know if you're ever going to land this plane. And he would look at me, and he could see the wheels were turning, and he was trying to put together what I was saying. And then he'd go, oh, now I lost my place. I have to start all over. And I can just remember the testing of my patience with this precious boy. I talked to him yesterday, and I related the story. I would do anything, anything, to sit with Connor and listen to him tell stories, because he has a gift. And the gift started when he was between 3 and 4 years old. So, but he frustrated me and tested my patience, as did my other two children. And I figured out a way to get back at them. And so I learned a little song, and I would sing this song and annoy them. So here it is.
Three, two, one.
My name is Sally, and this song is gonna be Have Patience. Have patience, have patience. Don't get in such a hurry. When you get impatient, you only start to worry. Remember that God is patient too, and think of all the times when others have to wait for you.
Sally is so precious, and truly, if you want, the words to the song are available. They were part of my PowerPoint, but it is a way, and my children to this day, they know that song, and they know if they push, they're going to hear it, and I don't sing as well as Sally. So I'm giving up the microphone today because Shannon, who's at our table, has a testimony, and her testimony is really precious, and I want to give her as much time as she needs, and so that she doesn't feel rushed in any way. The first time Shannon came to Table 8, Trudy and I had, I think we kind of got word that maybe she wasn't 100% in, and after we met her, we were like, oh, we really hope she sticks. And for us and everybody else at Table 8, Shannon has stuck with us. And I am so pleased and feel privileged to just introduce to you the loveliest lady that you're ever, ever going to get to know. So, Shannon, please come on up.
Intro here, because I was going to mention we heard about, you know, patience from Patty's lesson. And is that this? No. Okay. Anyway, good morning. My name is Shannon Biskauskas. Sorry. Proud member of Table 8 Even though I haven't been around as much this year, we can thank baby nap schedules for that. But I'm hopeful to return soon, as Moms Connect has been a huge source of joy, comfort, and support for me since I joined a few years ago. Well, I was going to say, we heard from Patty about today's lesson from the fruit of the Spirit. We didn't, but, you know, you get the idea. But the idea was patience, and in our book, it's defined as waiting without anxiety. Spoiler alert, I do not have this mastered, nor do I pretend to. I actually laughed when Patty asked me to share my experience. Pretty much anyone who knew me growing up would consider me to be the least patient person on the planet. And to this day, including this morning, I go a bit cross-eyed waiting for my son to get ready for school in the morning. The shoes, it takes the shoes, I don't know. But like so many other things, that motherhood has encouraged growth and rewiring of certain patterns, my four kids constantly show me the value of being present and the necessity of practicing patience and seeing the beauty in the unknown. Maybe most importantly, I am learning to lean into my faith during these times, to have patience and to release my need for control so that I may allow God to comfort and guide me. A little background about me. I grew up in Lafayette and then went back east for college and graduate school. I became a physician assistant in 2014, moved to San Francisco, and a few months later met my husband, Brian, and we were married in 2017. Fast forward to the present, and we have four beautiful and amazing children. Jack is 6, Claire is 4, Michael and Bridget are 15 months, and of course we can't forget Bruno, our firstborn, our 10-year-old rescue pup. And I think we have pictures. Nope, no pictures. Oh, I get pictures, okay. Right.
There you go.
Okay. So there's our crew. And Bruno, we like to nickname Nana, like from Peter Pan, because he will, with all the kids, will watch over and take care of them, and often sometimes babysit. So anyway, it's been a busy time. You may have noticed that two of those kids are the same age. You guessed it, twins. When we found out we were having twins, we had the reaction I imagine most have, and I would have paid good money to catch it on video. Crying, laughing, a little bit of swearing, and total anxiety about how in the world we were going to manage four kids aged 4 and under. Around this time, someone gave us the best advice by saying, you're going to spend the entirety of your pregnancy worrying about how you're going to do it all, and then the twins will get here and you just do. At this point, I would have been wise to lean on my faith and practice that patience, remember, waiting without anxiety, but I wasn't quite there in my faith journey. My husband and I were each raised with a Christian foundation from an early age. As we got older and busier with sports, the volleyball court became my church and the basketball court became Brian's. However, as we began our family, our own family, it became apparent that we too wanted to raise our children with a strong foundation in faith, as well as grow in our faith together as husband and wife. On November 13th, 2023, we welcomed our two beautiful babies into the world, both arriving on their own terms and perhaps suggestive of their personalities to emerge. Michael Coleman, 6 pounds, 13 ounces, born first and easily with one push. Bridget Francis, 7 pounds, 6 ounces, born 27 minutes later via C-section after flipping around, getting stuck, and refusing to come out as routinely as her brother. Everything after that was thankfully uncomplicated as we started our journey as a family of 6, blissful and bleary-eyed. The day before, oh, yeah, there they are. So Bridget is... No, no, one was 6 pounds, 13 ounces. The other one was 7 pounds, 6 ounces. So Michael is the one on the left, in the left picture, and Bridget is the one with the B on her head. And then in the picture, they would sleep like that. They'd just, like, fall onto each other, basically. And so Bridget's on the top, and Michael's on the bottom. And they're probably about 3 or 4 weeks in that picture. The day before the twins' 4-week checkup, we received a phone call from our pediatrician. I missed the call, So I quickly listened to the voicemail, and our cheery, chipper pediatrician had a tone to her voice that I will never forget. My heart immediately sank. It turned out that Bridget was one of the 0.02% of babies in California who had a positive result on the newborn screen test that they do in the hospital just after birth. She had screened positive for a rare genetic disorder called adrenoleukodystrophy, or ALD. So rare, in fact, that our pediatrician wasn't quite sure what to make of it or how best to advise us, despite all of her wonderful expertise. At this moment, Bridget was presenting as a totally healthy four-week-old. How could she possibly have something that might, at best, rob her of her hearing, her eyesight, or her mobility, or at worst, her life, as early as 9 or 10 months old? We just did not believe that that was possible. The first available appointment with genetics was about 4 weeks away, so we booked the earliest appointment we could, and thus began our period of waiting and our lessons in patience. My husband and I did what many in this situation would do, and we embarked on endless research, trying to decipher complex medical papers and weeding through fear-generating Google images and articles. With my husband's adeptness for numbers and mine for medical papers, we at least were ahead of most in trying to make sense of it all. Despite this, we were at a complete loss and completely out of control, something with which we both really struggled. The first round of genetic testing came back with some reassuring results. She did not have the gene marker for ALD. However, because it was now not ALD, it was possibly an even rarer and more complicated genetic disorder called a peroxisomal disorder. So more testing needed to be done and more waiting. And so we turned to what we knew, the unending love and support of our family and friends, as well as what we were less comfortable with, prayer and our relationship with God. We prayed multiple times a day for God to protect Bridget, for wisdom around what to do, for the doctor's wisdom, for strength in accepting what might become a new normal for us all. Most of all, we prayed for God to just give us the strength to be present and to enjoy our baby girl as she was. Patty came over one day and told me something that became my mantra. You go with what you know is true for that day. Today, you have a healthy little girl. Give the rest to God. And I remember asking her, how? How do you give it to God? This is something that still challenges me. How do we not worry about what the future holds? How can we so freely give all of our worries and our anxieties and our fears to God? I don't mean to suggest that prayer will always answer everything, because as we all know, that's not how it works. The Catholic priest, Bishop Barron, said recently, "The game is not getting God to do what I want. The game is surrendering to God's purposes, even when I don't fully understand them." In surrendering to God through prayer, we found a comfort, a lightness, and a patience that I truly believe would have been near impossible to find otherwise. We had multiple rounds of genetic testing, requiring several months of waiting and an insane amount of patience. The long wait times were exacerbated by some frustration with the care we received from our genetics team, consisting of a fellow physician who was new on the service and knew very little about genetics as a result, and an attending physician who was seemingly ambivalent and frankly kind of dismissive to our possible diagnosis. All of this was compounded by the fact that she was only doing clinical work part-time and thus extremely hard to reach. I would like to say we handled it gracefully all of the time. In truth, there were some strongly worded emails after the fellow ordered a genetic test that required my six-week-old to spit into a test tube, obviously an error, and about the glacial pace that things were being ordered or returned to us. But again, we tried to control what we could control, and the rest we just prayed about constantly. At the end of three rounds of genetic testing and a repeat of the initial blood work, Bridget's tests all came back normal. We were miraculously one of the extremely small percentages of babies with a false positive on that initial newborn screen. In reflecting about this time, I also marvel at the fact that God put very specific people into our lives to support us and lift us up. When I joined Moms in 2022, at the suggestion of my neighbor, Christine Dean, who I'm sure you all know, I was randomly assigned to a table that would ultimately have three sets of twin moms among us, as well as some of the most faithful and strong women I've ever met. Additionally, our night nurse, Bev Harper, who is here in support, who many of you also may know, who was recommended to us by a different neighbor, would pray with me and for me, pray with me and for me, and who showed up for our families in ways that were above and beyond. One other short anecdote, amidst the chaos of all of this, the twins also contracted RSV when they were 6 weeks old, and Michael had to be admitted to the hospital. While I was sitting in the emergency room with Michael, Brian was home with Bridget and the big kids, and he stepped outside to take the trash out. Who should be walking by but Christine Dean? And not knowing Brian very well or anything about what we were going through with Bridget's genetic screen, she asked how things were going. Brian mentioned to her that Michael was in the ER and that Bridget would probably be heading there shortly. She very sweetly took his hands and asked if she could pray for our family. And they did, right there in the driveway. Michael, unfortunately, ended up needing overnight monitoring in the ICU. So Brian spent the night there with his Bible and Psalm 23 booklet, praying over Michael and doing his best to give all his worries to God. All of this being said, and despite knowing that Bridget's genetic panel is normal, the geneticists can't say with complete confidence that she's totally in the clear, nor can they give us any answers as to why she would have had the positive screen. So as the days go by, and each day brings with it a new developmental advancement, crawling into now running and climbing, squawking into now purposeful babbling, it is a continued focus to lean into our prayers for patience in the unknown and just focus on finding the joy in this wild and beautiful journey with Bridget. We are blessedly forced to slow down and enjoy each moment, from the everyday runny noses, the overly clingy witching hours, the sibling-induced giggles, and all of the ups and downs in between. The happy outcome is not just that she was a rarity with her false positive, but that we have found ourselves much more present with her as well as with the rest of the kids. I would like to say that with this intentional focus on prayer and patience, that all of my fear and anxiety about the future are completely taken care of. But the patience about the unknown continues to be a journey. Despite this, I do feel much stronger and more confident in my own abilities to weather whatever the future may hold, as I know I can always turn to God to help me have patience as we move through it together. Thank you.
Wow, what a gift that was. We have to praise the Holy Spirit for visiting you in the shower, because look what we got. Thank you so much, Shannon. That was beautiful and so unexpected. What a gift to all of us this morning. I do want to say, Patty, that patient song that Sally sang on the screen, my husband sings to me. He grew up with that song. His mom sang it to him. He doesn't sing it to our kids. He sings it to me because I have patience issues. So I knew I was singing right along with Sally. All right, I want to end us with a little bit of scripture before I send you off to your tables. And this is from Isaiah 40:20. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or